Chris.
Thank you. Any other conflicts? Assemblymember DeLong.
Yes, a majority of my household income comes from commercial fishing, and we are actively using the Wrangell Boatyard.
Thank you. And pending any dissent from the Assembly, I'd move that you do not have a conflict of interest. Assemblymember Decker.
Yes, our family owns the fishing vessel McRae, moored in the Wrangell Harbor, and we use the boatyard. Our two children also work on separate commercial fishing vessels that that are moored outside of Wrangell but may come to Wrangell. And then a second conflict is that I'm the executive director of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, which is a nonprofit that generally deals with statewide R&D seafood issues, seafood industry issues.
Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. Pending no dissension from the Assembly, I move that you do not have an economic conflict of interest with the proposed items. Moving on then, persons to be heard, please. Kim, do we have people online?
We do. Mike Lockaby is the only person who signed up to be heard.
Okay.
And I will unmute his line. Mr. Lockaby?
Mr. Lockaby, please go ahead. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hello, Mr. Lockaby? Lockaby?
We can't hear you. You may be muted still.
Might need to push star six, Mike.
Mr. Lockaby, if you're on your phone, push star six.
Yeah, am I on now?
You are on now, sir.
Yeah, I was muted in two places, star six, and then the register for mute also. Okay, just a couple comments, Your Honor, Assembly members, and especially the staff there have been real helpful with my inquiries here. Comment on your first agenda item, health care letter. I would just hope that the health capacity letter describes what we are to the governor, so he knows that there's a lot of outlying areas that are affected by us, too. They've been coming here for years, and our positions have been going there for years. It's a good thing. I wanted to understand that it includes more than this community. Should anyway. Section two, to do a section eight, I was in that work group and we only had the one meeting and I just got the final there on it. I'd like to consider 24 hours for the exterior of the vessel, not just below the waterline. I did some research from the JAMA and from the New England Journal of Medicine on viable virus half-lives, and 24 hours would be sufficient for any surface on the vessel. Like 4 to 6 times the worst viable virus time. And several of the others, like the aerosol one, is like 24 minutes. So I think 24 hours, if you consider that in your discussion, I'd like to see that considered. At the not a point of action here, but the last paragraph below three took issue with the public process. And it said that I was informed that fourth paragraph was put in there to clarify something, but it still didn't clarify it because it talked about the reopening process and the public meeting part of it. I am an advocate to see the public meetings as reopened as soon as possible. A 20-person meeting group now, that makes it possible. The until further notice at the bottom of that was different than the original October 17th sunset. I'd like you to, if you would, please clarify that until further notice. We get sunsets that are out there. I'm thinking if we reopen, it'd be really great to have a public meeting again. So anyway, public comment is not that when you get cut off from Zoom after you finish, is not the same as the minor amount of give and take that clarifies things. The last time I spoke, I was responded to two ways, and I would love to have made a comment to the response because they were not in the character or words of what I said. But in a public meeting, that would have been resolved right there. But anyway, that's my comment. I wouldn't want your job, but I feel the need to have input. So forgive that of me, and
I won't judge you on what you have to do. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be clear.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lockby. 2 minutes, 54 seconds. Well timed. Good job. All right. We're going to move on to our agenda items. So we have approval to forward the healthcare capacity letter from Search Wrangell Medical Center to the Governor's Office and Department of Healthcare Services. There's a recommended motion on page 3.
Move to approve forwarding the healthcare capacity letter from Search Wrangell Medical Center to the Governor's Office and the Department of Health and Social Services.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second, Patty.
Been moved, seconded by Patty. Thank you. Discussion. Lisa, would you set us off on this first, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. The second attachment in this to this agenda statement is a letter from Commissioner Kroom at the Department of Health and Social Services outlining the four metrics that the state will be using to determine whether or not it's safe to continue moving through reopening phases, or if we need to hold, or if we actually need to back off of things. Those include epidemiology, testing, public health capacity, and healthcare capacity. And Dr. Prezonka has written a letter discussing the issue of our local healthcare capacity and what the governor's office and the Department of Health, Commissioner Kroom, have said is that if any community feels like they need to do something that is different than what the state is doing, that using these four metrics is going to be what needs to be in place in order for there to be a conversation about those differences in a local community. And so although we don't have any need right now, depending upon how things go in the future, we thought it would be a good idea to forward this letter from Dr. Prezonka to the governor's office and to the Department of Health and Social Services, Commissioner Crum, to make sure they have a baseline understanding of what our healthcare capacity is, that at least that one metric here in Wrangell. And so that's why this is before the assembly. And we thought that there may be some items that come out in discussion by the assembly that get used to put in, that go into a cover letter for the mayor to sign that will then go up to the state. And Dr. Prezonka is here to answer any questions regarding that.
Thank you, Lisa. Does anybody have any questions, first of all, on our process, but also directly related to Lynn on the content of the letter? Oh, here we go. Assemblymember Gilbert.
I really appreciate the letter. I appreciate knowing the parameters of the patient load in case there is an outbreak of infection. And it appears from listening to Dr. Prezonka and Letha that the hospital staff is coordinating with our first responders in the event that we may have an outbreak. And it occurs to me that I do not know the role that the city will play if we do have a crisis situation. How will a crisis situation be identified? And who's going to monitor the trends of infection? When will the city and how will the city be asked to respond to mitigate a potential crisis? What role is the city going to play, or what measures does the city have to install to mitigate a problem? It just seems that we're probably the last governmental entity to really sit down and have a robust discussion about what do we do if worse comes to worse. We can hope for the best, but shouldn't we prepare for a crisis situation?
Assemblymember Gilbert, that's an excellent question, and I'm going to take a stab at chunks of it, and then I'm going to encourage some other folks to take a stab at some other chunks. So this has been my concern since we first started in on this is when do we hit the red button, the panic button, that we're being overwhelmed. And I'm not saying we're going to, I'm not saying that we're not going to, but we're here. This is our island community, and we're probably the best positioned to understand in real time what's going on. And this was one of the reasons why we had hoped that the original hub hospital language was really written for Wrangell. We were the only community in the entire state that fit the hub hospital language. And they've subsequently removed that entire language. That's gone. It just disappeared. No one's talked about it, but it's disappeared. And so that was my hope, is that we would be able to put in measures if things were starting to bust loose to help stem it and very quickly to be able to respond. And that has been removed, but I've done a lot of thinking about it, and I believe, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I believe that if we were in the death throes here and it was looking bad and we had to do something, that we would come together as an assembly and we would pass whatever we needed to pass, and we would instruct our city manager to do what we needed to be done. And if the state troopers want to come down and arrest me and throw me in jail, I am willing, as the mayor of Wrangell, to wind up in jail for that, because we will do the right thing for our community. And that's the bottom line. But I've shifted my whole thought process from the political arena to how do we make sure that we're able to deal with the situation before it gets to that point. And I know that my wife is, and Letha and the hospital have spent a lot of time planning on their end, but there is on our end something we can do. And that's why I've made the request that we start to formally execute plans for a facility to have people do their 2-week quarantine if they come up COVID positive. And that's going to take time to put in place, and it's going to take money. And that's, you know, one of the things we're addressing tonight. So that's something else that we can do. And the other thing that we can do, I believe, is to help to encourage people to make the right personal decisions. And that includes making masks available and encouraging people to wear masks and having hand sanitizer around town and helping businesses get the things like the Assemblymember DeLong's group are doing, helping businesses open safely, and that we are able to manage things in a controlled way as we move along. So really, that's been, you know, my focus shift, and what Lisa and I spent the weekend talking about was the next step. What is the next step? And fortunately, we have funding to try and put these things in place. But at this point, as far as local mandates and local guidance, we can only work with what we have. And right now what we have is to send stuff up to the commissioner, get it on the governor's desk, and say, these are our vulnerabilities. This is our vulnerabilities, because nobody has come up with a plan yet that says we'll have a jet out at the tarmac, and the private whatever ambulance will take COVID positive people out of town for us. That's not a part of it. We're responsible. So that's where I think I'm hoping that I've answered a chunk of what you've asked. And at the end of the day, we have to do this now. It's not a 3 weeks from now or when we start having our first problems. And hopefully it's just a bunch of preparation that we never need to follow through on. Go ahead, Patty.
You know, there's a liability in any action we take, but there's also a liability in inaction. And that's what I'm concerned about. And one thing I do not want to be involved in is at the 11th hour, during a disaster, wordsmithing policies, procedures, mandates, what have you, and to try to put something in action without a really thoughtful process behind it. And so what I'm thinking and maybe suggesting is that we have a cover letter that not only indicates that accompanies this letter that indicates our parameters of care, but that we include in that cover letter some options that we may or may not have to take. And I think the assembly and the public should have a robust discussion, hopefully Thursday, have maybe another special meeting following our Thursday workshop. But let's discuss the what ifs, and let's not wait till the last minute, because the city will not have, because of HIPAA regulations, we obviously will not have patient details. We may not know the extent or the trend, and we may not fully realize the impact to the citizens or to the city until it's too late. We're going to have to rely on our medical professionals and our first responders. So I really think it's irresponsible of the of city and the assembly to not discuss some hard issues and you know, consider some options.
You bet, Assemblymember Gilbert. Lisa, I'm gonna just hold on your hand for 1 second. I know that I saw Lynn's hand go up, and I know she wants gonna want to address sort of that canary in the mine concept. So Lynn, please go ahead.
Hi, Patty, I think those are excellent comments. From the medical standpoint, we plan for routine care. We plan for our surge capacity when we're being asked to do more than we usually do. And then we have done on a medical side or a hospital side what you're talking about, which is think outside the box, which is a major medical disaster. And at that point, it's not that much different than a cruise ship catching on fire in our harbor, or I don't know, an earthquake hitting the school, and or an airline crash on Wrangell's property. We practice drills for these sort of emergencies that involve both the city and the hospital in terms of mass disaster, mass casualty, and we may actually get to that level. It's a whole new ball game at that point. That is at the point that you've got more sick people than you are capable of dealing with. And it's something that I've never wanted to see in my lifetime, and hopefully I never do. But it really does become at that point the mass casualty, and we're all working together along with government agencies, along with calling all medevac services that we can, and we would and I would go back to what is our mass casualty plan at that point. And we should make sure that we've got that completely brushed off and everybody is aware of their various roles in that. But that's what would have to take over at that point. When I say we've got 16 beds, that's our surge capacity for dealing in a crisis. That is not mass casualty. So I think you're absolutely right. We should have that ahead of time as well. In terms of, I think what you're asking is, how are we going to know when to pull the ripcord? How are we going to know when to call it this, that, or the other thing? And I think that it is reasonable for us to give an update in our weekly updates that we have on Wednesday mornings to say we are not at our surge capacity, or if we're at our surge capacity, if we had to surge, we are at the surge capacity now, but holding steady. We should be able to update you as part of the mass casualty program to say to the city, this is where we are right now. I don't think that breaks HIPAA regulations. That tells us where we are in a disaster, and I think it needs to happen. So I'm hoping that helps a little bit, but you have brought up a very good point, and I think that knowing that that's the step that we do, we should be looking at our mass casualty plan in terms of a mass COVID epidemic. And I'm thinking of things like a cruise ship pulls into town and there's 35 people on it who are critically ill, that sort of mass casualty situation.
Thanks, Lynn. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There were a couple of points I wanted to make. The first, well, 3 points. The first is I'm taking lots of notes about things, so thank you for the comments so far. The second is that Captain Spray, it looks like she's on the line now, was going to try to be here to explain the role of EMS in some of these things and what our capacity is, because we wanted to add that to the cover letter. So not just the hospital's capacity, but our EMS capacity to be able to respond to something like a mass casualty event, or if we're reaching surge capacity and we're having issues. I've recently read an article about, and I'm sure all of you have seen, you know, the New York press with ambulances just lined up. And so there is the potential, if things were to get bad here, not saying they are, that our EMS in responding to just getting people to the hospital for more critical care would be overwhelmed, whether it's in terms of staff resources or it's PPE or whatever it might be. So Captain Spray is certainly going to be working with me on that, and she may want to make some comments about it this evening. The second item,
comment now, or do you want to wait till you're done?
She can go ahead now. That's fine.
Sure. Captain Spray, did you want to comment on EMS and limitations?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you for the opportunity. So talking about surge, and in the case of a mass casualty, like Lynn said, we drill on this along with the state's triannual mass disaster drill. Oftentimes that's simulating an airplane, but we've also used a cruise ship as an example, and just that partnership with the hospital showing what we're capable of in our plan. We have outlined different transportation possibilities and such, and none of this obviously working with an infectious disease, but more working just moving people from a mass disaster, such as that plane or that cruise ship. with what we have right now, starting back in late March, or excuse me, late February, early March, the hospital and the fire department worked together to get our EMS providers up to date in fit testing, which is ensuring that the appropriate mask that we are wearing is protecting us, and we're not wearing the incorrect size, potentially exposing our responders. Right now, we have approximately 13 responders that are fit tested with the appropriate masks, fit tested to wear the N95s that's suggested by CDC for dealing with a COVID positive patient. When you look at what we're capable in the community, we've always been extremely lucky to have a large volunteer department. And I am super thankful that we do have such a large volunteer department. When we add this to it, it definitely shrunk our responder capability. I've reached out to a number of folks today just to check in with them and making sure that they are still willing to respond. They've all been tested, but I think COVID-19 kind of morphed into something different. So I really want to make sure that, though they're fit tested, they're still capable. And like I said, we have 13 responders. When you look at an ambulance call right now, as we've moved everything and minimized how many people we have responding on our calls, it's two or three folks to respond to these ambulance calls. And now that's two or three folks and all of their PPE that they'd be wearing, a gown, goggles, gloves, and the proper mask and face shield. We respond to our patient, ask our set of questions. We're delivering to the hospital, working with the hospital staff to do that screening in our ambulance, and then potentially moving the patient into the hospital from there. After that, we have a huge set of decon procedures and cleaning procedures for our ambulance, and that takes our ambulance out of service for upwards of 2 to 2.5 hours for the full decon procedure and process. So and it goes, we go through a number of pieces of PPE. So right now, as we sit, and thankfully I touch wood, we're pretty good for resources as far as, you know, your eye protection, your masks, and what our burn could compare to what our burn rate is at this time. I said on the call last week, we have not put in a request for more supplies because thankfully we have not yet had that need. So if or when that time comes where we are responding to a number of calls, it will be very trying on our EMS system, being that we only have right now 13 responders for a COVID positive call. So we really need to keep that in the back of our mind as we move forward and look at our surge capacity. We have our two ambulances. We're trying to keep one very clean, and we're keeping one marked for our COVID positive screen, not COVID positive patient, but COVID screen positive. But it will be very trying on our department should we get into a major surge in our community.
Thank you, Captain Spray. Really appreciate that update. Anybody have a question for Captain Spray before we move back to the city manager? Okay, Lisa, you're back up.
Mr. Mayor, part of the comments I wrote down are that Assemblymember Gilbert made, I think are great, and we need to be ready to go with whatever an emergency ordinance or an emergency, a subsequent emergency declaration might be, having had those worst case scenario conversations and trying to figure out what it is that this community would do if the worst came to pass. And I think it is extremely smart to have that written and ready to go. That way we're not scrambling trying to get something in play. I have had a discussion with the attorney and then have had subsequent discussions with the mayor, with the attorney, that if things go completely off the rails here with regard to COVID-19, it really isn't going to matter that the state has put these restrictions in place, that you can't have other mandates, because at that point we're beyond what our community has the capacity to handle, and we're just going to have to do what we can do. And our attorney has said he is completely comfortable with us doing whatever declaration is necessary to just put the hammer down and say, we can't handle anymore. Whatever that is, I don't know. We need to have those discussions. But he has said he's perfectly comfortable with us doing that if we end up in a worst case scenario situation. I think obviously we are going to have discussions with the state if things go very, very poorly here. And I cannot imagine if we are seeing a major surge that is just overtaking our community, that the state's going to say, I'm sorry, you're not a small community and you can't do this. And like I said, frankly, the attorney has said, just do it if it comes down to that. So I just wanted to let you know. You're muted, Mr. Mayor.
Great. Sorry, folks. Assemblymember Gilbert.
And I appreciate those comments. Could we, at the very least, in our cover letter, indicate to the governor that our situation and that we will be prepared to act in the best interest of Wrangell, and despite any mandate that may be in effect at that time? And then also, could we, just to educate the public, during our Thursday workshop, have the borough manager sort of indicate some measures that may be put into place if we get into dire straits?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Patty. And I've had a lot of people contact me over the last little while that are very concerned and feeling like it's, that we're being controlled from outside by people who don't know what's going on. And we have some vocal residents who are very pro one way, and I've got a lot of quieter residents who are very concerned. So I think we have nothing to lose by doing that. And I think having that language in the letter and then an update for folks on Thursday would be a great idea. Lisa, did you want to continue on? You said you had 3 points.
I'm sorry. The first one was thank you for all of the feedback. But if I may respond to Assemblymember Gilbert, Mr. Mayor.
For sure.
So I actually very much like your idea of having that conversation with the Assembly. And I think administration can come prepared with some ideas that the Assembly can work through in public discourse, which I think is the best way to do it. That way the community can weigh in as they desire as well. I'm not sure we can get you everything you need in term ready for Thursday. That may need to be a week from today, a Monday thing, to get what I would call, let's say, the next iteration of a worst case scenario emergency ordinance written, if that's what you'd like to see, as a straw man that then can be reviewed by the Assembly prior to a open discourse discussion taking place.
I think that, Patty, I don't want to speak for you, but I think what you're asking for is that we start that discussion, generate the ideas, and you're able to take good notes and then to draw that up. And we might also want to have the attorney on the line to help sort of clarify things if that's necessary to do. But it'd be great to give you kind of the marching orders, Lisa, so that you can get things drawn up for us. Is that, I don't want to overly characterize what you're looking for, Patty, please.
I would like a three-prong approach. We have the hospital, the healthcare professionals, we have our first responders, and I want the city. So keep in mind that three-prong approach to solving any and mitigating any potential problem. And the city's responsibility is obviously to keep the public informed. So I think it is a benefit.
Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert. Lynn, please go ahead.
I would just like to say that I would happily work with the city and the EMS to do my part to help arrange a plan so that we've got a clear direction of where we go and at what point we move forward with plans to reduce the possibility of getting into that mass casualty situation.
Perfect. Thank you, Lynn.
So, Mr. Mayor, the clerk just reminded we do have the Board of Equalization at 6 p.m. on Monday. So would you like to have a special meeting following the work session on Thursday to just have an initial, I hate to say brainstorming session, but an initial discussion from which we then take, administration takes notes and comes back with something at a later date? Or would you prefer?
What I don't want to do is I don't want to delay getting our letter up north, because I kind of want the state to be put on notice that the intention is that we have issues with capacity. If we are overwhelmed, and we don't have time to wait for decisions out of the governor's office necessarily. So I would like to see to draw that up sooner than later. We can work on that and possibly have that available to the Assembly to review on Thursday after after our COVID update, correct? That's what you're thinking there? After your COVID update?
Right. So I was actually thinking the letter would be written tomorrow and would go. But if the Assembly, if you would like the Assembly to read it, that's fine.
I would like the Assembly to read it, and then that way, if somebody has a concern with it, they have an opportunity to speak out. Maybe it doesn't need to be brought back. That's fine if it's not brought back, but I would definitely like to see that happen sooner than later. But yes, we could do it after the Board of Equalization. Typically, those meetings don't take up too much time, so I think we should be able to move forward. Does anybody have any comments on that? Yes, Assemblymember Decker.
Yeah, thanks. I I really support sending this letter on to the state. I think a couple of things that, you know, on multiple levels, communication has not been the greatest. So I think proactively communicating to the state is a good idea. And so I support sending it sooner rather than later. I would appreciate seeing a copy of the letter before it's sent, but I think it's a good thing to send it off. I have one question for Dr. Persunka, if possible, on the letter and the situation.
Please go ahead.
Dr. Persunka, you talk in the letter about medevac services, and I know there's like a process, right? It's not like I call my own medevac to come get me. Typically, they have to see a provider, and the provider calls the medevac services if it's needed. There's a lot of folks in particular the seafood industry that are recommending that medevac insurance be purchased this year if you don't already have it and some things like that. So I was curious if you have any ideas, you don't have to respond now, but maybe think on it, ways that the state may, with like their leadership, may be able to interact with these medevac insurance companies to maybe have a slightly different process for how to enact those services this year. Any thoughts on that?
It would be very unusual. This has come up before with industries and other situations, and I can't remember what exactly the situation was, but it wasn't COVID related. There's a belief that it can be used just to transport somebody out of the community and out of the state, but these are incredibly expensive flights. So to get insurance, you really do have to, when you've got insurance, it's not covering the flight. What it's covering is if you have no other insurance and you're not covered with Medicare or Medicaid and you don't have Fisherman's Fund kicking in and there's nothing else paying for it, yeah, then having that insurance will cover it. What it does otherwise is cover the portion that's not covered by these services because they're extremely expensive. And so it seems unlikely to me that the state would bite off taking over some of that cost. It also seems unlikely that the medevac service is going to reduce its cost unless it's mandated by the government to do that. They're very specialized aircrafts. They take one patient at a time. And they fly, it's basically a flying ICU. And so they're not a patient transport organization. However, I would say that if the seafood industry itself, the Fisherman's Fund or somebody else like that, looked into a way of finding a charter outfit that would fly patients who are COVID positive, who aren't terribly ill, to a larger location so that they're not in our small community with limited resources, I think that would be something that perhaps the fishing industry can ask the state whether that's something that they would endorse, because that would be a solution that would be extremely helpful. I doubt very much that the very expensive flights, Guardian Flight, Airlift Northwest, and so forth, I doubt that that's the right route to go with that one, though.
So I'm going to hold that conversation because we're fairly far off of our agenda item. So I appreciate that information, Lynn, and I see Julie Madley taking notes. So we're gonna cap it there, Julie, if that's okay with you. Thank you. Okay, any other questions, any other comments from Lisa? We do have a motion on the table.
Mr. Mayor, I apologize. I just want clarification. Also, it sounds like we have a Port and Harbor Commission meeting at 6 o'clock on Thursday. So,
I'll get a different number.
It sounds like we can just get a different number. So, would the assembly like to do something on Thursday then following the regular update?
So Thursday would be to. So here's how I see it, Lisa. Correct me if I'm wrong. So we are going to move forward with writing the letter from the mayor,
yes,
to accompany Lynn's letter to the up north. We're going to give assembly members an opportunity to read that letter and comment prior to it going out and provide feedback. That letter will go out between tomorrow and Thursday. Thursday night, we would have a meeting regarding the points that Assemblymember Gilbert brought up regarding